Hey, good morning. Hope you guys had a good week. Did I hear somebody did? All right, got one person. All right, good deal. I had an all right week. I had district assembly, which is this thing that our Nazarene denomination puts on by districts, and we meet all our churches together, and we vote on things, and we talk about things, and it's a long, long meeting that lasts 3 days. And we vote, you know, and then people get grumpy sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, it's one of those things you go and you're like, ooh, is there going to be an issue? But, you know, it was a good meeting. We were challenged by our leader to be a church that God has called us to be and to be ready to go down that narrow path with Christ. And it's not easy, but when we stay on that narrow path and we follow God, man, that journey is amazing. And so I was inspired by that, and I was excited by that. I will say, I believe it was Friday, I had one of those days I wish I could have hit the rewind button and started all over, right? I had to miss the morning session because I needed to take my son to see a surgeon. He has to get a surgery on his finger. You know, extreme nose picking is not something I recommend, all right? He would say it's something else, but I think it was that, all right? And so we had to start off the day going there, and the surgeon asked me a couple questions like, hey, he should have been in here a lot earlier. This is kind of late, and I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. You know, it's that defensive, and I immediately started getting defensive there. And when we leave, first off, I don't want to bag any doctors, all right? But I will say, I have some pet peeves in my life. And when you set a schedule, it's so frustrating to go into a doctor's hospital when they set that schedule and you're like 30 minutes, you get finally called back. And they tell you to show up 30 minutes early so you can sign your life away, right? And every minute feels like a day. I don't know about you. My patience level starts to lose when I'm waiting there. And so we get in a little bit later than normal, which I think he was busy and just backed up. And I know I need to be patient and God was working on me. And I take my son back home, and I needed to be places to be. When you have places to be, every second and every minute that you're behind feels like eternity. At least it does for me, all right? And so I had places to be. I finally dropped my son off. I decided, hey, listen, I'm really, really tired. I need to get me some coffee, and then I'll be alive, and I'll be awake for this trip, right? And as I'm leaving Springfield, I'm about to get on the exit to go towards Decatur. I decided, hey, I need to take a drink. And instead, the drink took me, all right? I dropped it, hot coffee all over my lap, all right? And that was a joy. And I just decided, okay, God, it's time to hit the rewind button and go back home and start all over, all right? So I made it to the rest of the sessions after that. But, man, you have those days, and you sit back, and you go, God, really? Really today when I needed this, right? And I started thinking about other moments that are pet peeves for me. One of those is when somebody tells me they're ready to go, and so you head out to the car, and then you wait for that one person that said, you ready to go? Right? I told people in my family I would not talk about them, so they're anonymous in this, all right? All right? I've learned my lesson somewhat, it's not mom. You sit out there in the car and you wait, and like what, 1 minute passed, 2 minute passed, and you're like, okay, this is fine. 5 minutes passed, and you're like, okay, this has like been a half hour. I could have been sitting in there still relaxing and enjoying life. And you said you were ready, right? Anybody else? All right. I'm not alone like this, right? Okay. You start to lose your patience with that, right? It's not easy. I will tell you, it's been on the flip side. Usually I'm like, hey, we're ready to go, and I forget I did not have my keys with me, and I don't know where I put the keys. I know for me, when I go inside and I'm like, oh, I forgot those, or I forget my glasses, and I'm like, I panic. It feels like every 30 seconds or a minute for me trying to find it is like I'm making them wait. I know I'm going to get yelled at because I've yelled at her before about this kind of stuff. Like, you said you were ready. Why did you say you're ready if you're obviously not ready, right? Yeah, you go in there and you search for it, and you like come back, and it feels like it was the next day that you come back, and you're like, yeah, I read a book while you were gone. Wonderful. I hope it was good. Bless your heart, right? But I think we can look at Scripture and we can find the same points that Jesus had with us. This is our last week of fan and follower. And I will tell you, I had some really good emails from last week from the questions that we had, and I still implore you to do that. You know, what's the one thing if you said yes to Jesus meant saying no to? All right? I feel like that's a really good question to ask on a regular basis. What if saying yes to this to you, God, means I need to turn away from this? What is that? It's recognizing that and saying, okay, I'll do that. I had some really good emails. I hope to use them someday. And you know, if you say you don't want your name said in it, that's totally fine. But I would love for you guys to know, church, we're searching. You guys are searching, and it's awesome to hear your stories. It's awesome to see where you're at, and it's awesome how God wants to use you. I'm excited about that. All right. This last one, I've been picking on a couple, you know, Pharisees and regular followers of Jesus, right? This one you can find, again, this is in Luke 9. It's 57 through, 57 through 59, 58. Or I think, yeah, 59. I can't read. Anyway, he says this. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Okay. I've kind of hinted around at this scripture before with you, and it seems really harsh of Jesus, right? It seems like the first time I read it as a teenager, I thought, okay, that's kind of mean. That's not the Jesus that's portrayed. He seems like he's this really sweet and, you know, caring man. Why would he say this to this guy that wants to follow him, right? He wants to be in his life. He wants to be there. And Christ said, hey, follow me. And he goes, well, wait a minute. Let me go bury my father. And this is one of those moments that, hey, I'm ready, but I'm not ready. Hey, I'm ready to go, but I'm not really ready to go. There's some things in my life. And what you don't hear in Scripture that we see in here is his father probably was not dead. It was tradition of their times to wait out until the father was passing to put, before he left, before you could leave home, you took care of everything. You wrapped it up, right? And Jesus said, no, we don't have time for this. We need to go. Whenever he calls, are we ready to go? That's a question that we need to start asking ourselves. Whenever he calls you, and he's going to call you to stuff. He's going to call you to share his gospel. He's going to call you to be his hands and feet. He's going to call you at probably the most uncomfortable moments when we're not even ready for it. He's going to call you. Are you going to be ready for this? Are you going to make the excuses? I think we live a faith life many times that's full of excuses. Especially when he calls us. I don't want to necessarily share the gospel because I'm not ready to share the gospel. I'm not sure what that means to me. But I want to follow you. Right? I want to be there with you. I want this to be part of my life. But it's not easy. So Jesus didn't reply in this way. He didn't reply by saying, I understand. You know when the time is right. I don't want to put pressure on you. Take your time. He didn't reply that way. As a pastor, there's many times that I've asked people to be a volunteer for youth, and I definitely see the call in their life. I definitely see that they would have the gift for it, but it's not the time. I've seen other teens and implored them, hey, I know your buddy needs you to have that conversation. That their life, you've sat here and prayed for them. You've sat here and said, you know, so-and-so is, their life is a mess. And they keep doing this. And I want God to change them. And what God is saying, well, are you ready? Are you ready to follow me and share with them? And love on them in a way that can be difficult. Uncomfortable. Unsettling. May even ruin a relationship for a bit. And We get confused with love, grace, and mercy with convicting and judgment. Right? And when we try to hold each other accountable, we kind of mesh those things together. And the reality is this: you are not called there to convict them of their sin. You're called there to love them out of it. There's a huge difference in that. When we focus on the sin and what they're doing, we have forgot there's a person that Jesus Christ loves. Right? So if you're praying for somebody, I guarantee more than likely God's put that person on your heart for a reason. And he wants you to be ready to follow him in those conversations, in those moments, to be there, to love on them, to show them who Jesus is and what life is with Jesus. But the problem that we have is that we are not necessarily fully committed at following Jesus. We're not ready to say, yeah, we do it with our mouths. Yeah, I want to be there. I want to follow you. I want to be here. I want to do what God has called. But when he calls on you, we have a tendency to go and find the excuses like this guy, which is a legit excuse during their time. It was still legit. But Jesus had nothing to do with that. He basically moved on right away. He's like, all right, we're done. And you don't hear anything about this guy anymore. And I want to show you the other version of this, right? Where you find in Matthew 4, 18 through 20. And he says this: as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting the net into the lake, and they were fishermen. He said to them, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. I want you to know, they were fishermen. They were at their job. And Jesus confronts them and says, follow me. And they dropped everything. It doesn't talk about them going home to pack up. It doesn't talk about them going home to say goodbye to family. It doesn't talk about any of that for a reason. They just dropped everything and said, okay. Now, they've heard about Jesus. They guarantee you heard about Jesus. They were dropouts of Jewish school at that time. They've been part of the process of being educated, and they couldn't make it through the education, and so they went back home and did their job of what their family did. That's what you normally did, right? And they've also had the experience of being in the courts and seeing Jesus talk to other rabbis and being astonished at what he was saying. So it wasn't one of those things that they're going, oh, just this random dude coming up to me and saying, follow me. Okay, I'm done being a fisherman. All right, sweet. That's not how it worked. They saw, they knew who Jesus was. Even though they didn't know who Jesus really was. They knew he was a rabbi. They knew he had a lot of respect. They knew he was highly educated in Scripture. And the way he would talk about it was never seen before. I guess I could kind of compare it to like watching somebody play basketball for me who I've never been able to see play basketball like that before. For me, it was MJ. If I got to watch Michael Jordan play, and if you got to watch him live, you left with your mouth open going, wow, that guy, he's magic. He's amazing. He's something. He just took that ball and did this, and he made it, and I can barely jump a foot off the ground. It's awesome. And they had that same kind of mindset with Jesus. He was doing things, he was saying things, and for his age, they were astonished at who he was. And then he came up to them, who were fishermen, just a regular Joe, and said, follow me. And they dropped everything. They didn't have excuses. They saw the impact that they were going to be able to be a part of. They saw a purpose that they get to jump on. They saw an opportunity to make a difference in their culture, their community, and their lives? And they said yes, without hesitation. I tend to wonder how we live our lives like that. Whenever God's ready to call you, whenever He does speak to you, are you ready with that same kind of mentality to say, yes, I'll drop it all? Maybe it means inviting somebody that you normally would not invite to a church service and sitting next to them and people might talk. Do you understand that? Like, being a part of somebody's life that you've never been a part of before. Pulling over in a moment where God says in a whisper, hey, this person over here needs your help. They're lying in a ditch. If you talk to Jerry and Jeff, they had that moment this morning where they saw somebody just on the side of the road and the wife/girlfriend/whatever was laying in the road, right? Right? And you're like, okay, God, what are we? They both came back to church. It was right out here and they were both going, what do we do? And so they both kind of like attacked it, went back, and the lady got up and was like, I'm good, and just hopped right back in the truck. And I don't know what happened to them, and we don't know the story, but it's, my thought, though, is what if they did nothing? You see, we have people going to hell in our lives, and we're okay letting it happen. We can't be okay with that. Whenever God calls you, are you ready to say yes? You know, He gives us a choice with this. And in Hebrews, He talks about this. Hebrews 3:15, as has just been said, today, if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Basically what this is saying, if you say no continually to God, guess what happens to our hearts? They harden. It's really hard to love people with a hardened heart. It really is. And I think God, I know for me, the moment that I asked Jesus Christ in my entire life changed from that perspective. And all of a sudden, all the anger and frustration that I used to have, God started chiseling away. All the resentment and wounded relationships that I had, God started chipping away. And I started saying yes to Him in those relationships, and guess what started happening? They were not wounded from my side anymore. Whether that meant I deserved a forgiveness from them or not, I forgave. Whether I need to step forward and admit some things, I did. And I'm not perfect, and there took me a while, and there was one relationship that I would not let go, and guess what started happening? There was a moment in my walk, then all of a sudden I hit a wall. I loved Jesus. I loved God. I loved that He sent His Son and His Holy Spirit moved in me. And from that moment on, had continued to move in me and move in me until I started saying, no, now I cannot give this up. I cannot be the one that has to restore this relationship. It's not fair. And my heart started to harden, not even towards that person, because it was already hardened. It started hardening to Jesus. And then there was days that I would pray and it felt empty in my prayer. I would read Scripture and the Scripture was empty, not because of Scripture or prayer, because my heart had chosen to go a different way. I was not ready to go where He had called me. And it affected my walk. I've worked with people with the same thing. They've bared chains of relationships that they could not let go. And it stunted their spiritual growth. See, if we are to follow Him, it means we let go of all those things and we say yes to Him and know that, and trust that He has it. Trust that He loves us more than that hurt. trust that he can restore it beyond our own capabilities. The moment that I finally said yes to that changed my life and the trajectory that I was going. I had a moment on a basketball court with a person that I thought would never admit any wrong, and I decided that summer I gave it all up, and I went down there and I was like, this is a different moment for me. I went down there with a loving attitude, with zero expectations from this person, and just trusting that Jesus would change it. And he did. The person that he changed was me. The person that he changed was how I loved and how I was able to love. And then it wasn't an outside source anymore to reflect that. Man, following Jesus whenever is amazing. And when we start letting go of the excuses, it's out of this world that we don't know what the expectations are, because God is going to take us places that we've never been before. And it's going to be exciting. And it's going to be challenging. What's cool is, as a church, when we say yes, guess what we really are supposed to be sitting at this table talking about? I said yes to him in this moment. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how God used me, how I was rejected today, and it hurt. They said some mean things, and I don't know how to respond. We come to the table at this church, we come together, and we go, okay, let's work this out. This is how we do it. This is how we respond. This is how we talk. This is how, it's just part of the process. See, I think when I look at the disciples and Jesus and the model of the upper room, when they would sit down and they would say yes to Jesus and they would talk about the day's events of, like, why would you go sit with that woman at the well? She's beneath you. Why would you let that person pour all that perfume on your feet? They could have, that money could have been, she could have sold that, and that money could have been helpful for our ministry. I love the fact that they were bold enough to ask these questions, because it was hindering them spiritually, and I think we need to be bold enough to ask these questions to God. Our God is big enough to answer our questions and handle them. We need to trust it. We need to trust that God can handle those questions. We need to ask him those questions. We need to ask each other the questions too. There's another part, another person was asked too. And he actually said, I believe, I want to follow you. Right? It's further on down in the scripture. It's the next one. Jesus said to them, He said, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but the first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Seems like a reasonable thought, right? Right? I would want to say goodbye to my family if God said, hey, we're going to Cuba today. You're like, well, all right, let's go. But hey, I'm going to say goodbye. Right? Not a bad thing. Right? And then you go on to read, Jesus replied, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I think about this. I think about what happens as we lead. I think we desire, hey, God, I'll follow you. Right? And this is how we want to follow. Did I scare anybody? We want to follow God, but still look back and have what we had. Can you imagine driving, me teaching my son, hey, this is how you drive. You just always look behind you as you go forward. Can you imagine driving that way? Oh, there was a turn. Like, that would be scary if you never looked forward. Or you continue to do this, like, just every 3 seconds, oh, that was, I loved that. See, this is what was happening in this moment. Was it this goodbye was going to be one of those kind of goodbyes that was not going to be just, hey. And I think I look at it this moment, too, is Jesus going, hey, you said you wanted to follow me. You said you're ready to follow me. You remember this? We're ready to go. And then you go sit and wait. Can you imagine making Jesus wait on you? Think about that. Our God, our Lord, our Savior, the one that died on the cross, you going, hold a minute. I could really use a glass of milk and maybe some cereal, and I really want to watch this TV show before I go out and follow you, all right? Can you imagine doing that? No, I hope not. But we do that, I think, with God. I think we do that spiritually. Whatever we come up with that we're like, yes, I'll go, but on my time, when I'm ready. Right? And if we do go, we start to go with this mindset, I'm going, I'm following you, but man, I'm missing out. I'm seeing what was behind me. Right? Where's our focus? Are we following God with whatever it takes? There's another story that you can find. It's in 1 Kings. Let me find it. 1 Kings 19. And I implore you to go read 1 Kings 19. It's about Elijah and Elisha. All right? And Elijah is this great prophet that loves God and wants to live his complete life for God. Right? And he's told in this moment to go and find Elisha and tell him, hey, he's going to be the next prophet. I need him. Right? And so Elijah, keep up with me, I know it's tough. Elijah goes on this journey, goes to find him, finds him. He's out plowing his land. He's got all these ox. He's got all these farm animals. He's definitely a rich man. And he sees him with his family. He's got a rich family. You can tell he's loved. You can tell that this is good. And he just puts his cloak over Elijah, which Elijah knew what that meant. I am called by God. So Elijah gets this and goes, all right, I'll be right back. I'm going to go say goodbye to my whole family. And Elijah says, oh, what have I done to this guy? He's got all this stuff. He's got an easy life. And I'm calling him to follow me, which is not going to be an easy life. God's going to call him to do things that's not easy. To put his life at risk for God. And you know what Elisha did? That was opposite from the guy that said, hey, let me go say goodbye. He murdered all his cattle, burned his land, cooked that cattle for his family and had a goodbye and was like, all right, nothing's holding me back. Whatever it takes is what Elisha did in that moment. He said, whatever is behind me is behind me, and I have no ties because God has called me forward with him. Imagine us following God like that. Imagine the world and the community that you live in, the people that you're around, the people that see you, hear you, interact with you, and you, whenever God called you and whatever it takes, you do that as a follower. Imagine the impact you would have with the people that you come in contact daily. I can tell you right now, you're all called. Do you know that? You're all called to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor. You guys know that? You are called. Imagine just with that simple calling, living it out as a follower that said, whenever you called me, I'll do whatever it takes. Springfield would look different. Your community would look different. Your home would look different. Not easy. But look where Christ ended up when he followed. He said yes, and he ended up on a cross. He tells us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. Do you know what that means? It means daily we need to die to ourselves and live a life found in him. Our number one thing that we struggle with as followers, as humanity, is being selfish. Being selfish. It's just who we are. Our world is surrounded by our needs and our wants and our desires, and God comes in and he wrecks that and he turns it upside down and says, it's about me and everybody else. Are you ready to do it? Are you going to do whatever it takes to do it? What this also means is the things in which that holds our hearts, even if it's one thing, especially that one thing that we're not ready to give up to God, is going to inevitably be the one thing that keeps us away from God. You hear that? That one thing in your life that you know you necessarily can't give up is probably going to be the one thing that keeps you from growing closer to God. I want that to resonate. Because God wants everything. He wants you to surrender everything because he doesn't want you to be away from him at all. And he even knows that one thing can cause a division between you and him. That's how much God loves you. He wants all of you. I love my wife. There's still things I'm like, I don't need all that. Guarantee my wife could say the same thing. I love him, but man, it takes a lot of love to love the stuff that I can't stand. God loves me, not because of anything I do, because he created me. He loves you, not because of anything you do, but because he created you. He loves your neighbors, not because of anything they do or don't do, because he created them. Imagine thinking about that in the way that you look at your neighbors. God created them. They're a masterpiece. They just don't know it yet. That's what I implore you to think about when you look at people and when you say, God, I'm ready to follow you. Wherever, whenever, whatever. I'm ready to follow you. I pray that that is your call this week, that you're thinking about those things that, God, whenever, wherever, whatever it takes, I'm right here for you. My life is at your beck and call. My life will be fulfilled when you say, all right, let's go. Your voice is loud and stand like I is booming, and then you've said, all right here, this is what I want. You can even see it in Elijah before he even got called. He was sitting with God, and he was waiting for God to speak, right? And the storm comes, and God's voice isn't in the storm, and an earthquake, I believe it was, comes, and you don't hear God. Where does he hear God in? In the silence. Our God is so big that he talks in the silence, and he moves. And what's different is this, is Elijah was ready to hear. He slowed his life down from his own wants and desires and sought out God. Because he is whenever, whatever, wherever, I will follow you. May those be some questions you ask this week. Am I ready? Will I do whatever it takes? Do I live with a spiritual excuse all the time, or I'm just ready to go? Wherever you lead me, I will follow. Are we still too busy being a fan of who Jesus was and celebrating what he did, but not really being an active participant of what he's called us to be? We cannot be just pew sitters on a Sunday. We come here to celebrate God. We come here to worship God because what we've seen and been a part of and what he's challenged us, what he's leading us to do throughout the whole rest of the week. When you leave here on a Sunday, it's not the end of your spiritual walk. It is the beginning. And it is all directly connected to eternity. That's my charge for you this morning. Are you ready to follow? Don't let your heart harden. Don't let the no's to God rule over the yes that will soften and heal. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we look at you and we say yes to you, I hope. I pray this morning that if we've been living with spiritual excuses, that we lay them down before you and say, okay, I'm ready to trust you. I'm ready to put my entire life in your hands and go, okay, let's do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray this morning that those who are still going, Jesus, you're a cool guy. I've seen what you've done, and I don't think you could really use me. I don't think I'm ready for this. Lord, I pray that you work on those. I pray that you work on their hearts. I pray that they know that there is more to this life than what this world has to offer. That you offer them eternity with you. That you offer a life that's full of love, grace, and salvation, and redemption, and a greater story that is surrounded by your story. You offer fulfillment of what you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that we follow you wherever, whenever, and whatever it takes. We love you, Lord. Continue to work on us. Continue to hound us down that needed those who needed to be hounded down, Lord. Continue to say the things that, and I pray that our hearts and our minds are open to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that we're like the disciples who are just dropped everything and just went, quit their job, quit their social community, and just said, okay, I'm here, God. I pray that we have the same kind of excitement that we have, that Elisha has. We're like all this that the world looks like as something that can anchor us down and bring life, that we know where true life comes from. And Elisha knew that it was to follow you. He was willing to do whatever it takes. Lord, I pray that our hearts are like that with you. I pray that we are willing to do whatever it takes to follow you. Pray that we're not a church of fans, that we are a church of followers. We love you, Lord. I pray that our lives resemble that. I pray that our voices ring that out. I pray that our actions prove that. Teach us how to love those who need to be loved. Teach us how to accept your love and that you've created us and you can use us. I pray that we know that and we hear that and we believe that this morning. I pray the excuses melt away and I pray that our hearts are softened. I pray this rest of this week, Lord, that we have those moments where we're like, okay, I said yes to you. Let's go do it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Son who continued to say yes all the way to the cross. May we understand what that means for us. We do this all to honor your name. We do this all to honor the life that you lived for us. We do this for your death. We do this we have resurrection with you. May we carry our crosses daily with you, God. Amen. Church, stand with me. And this is my challenge this week. Maybe before you leave, find somebody to say, hey, you know what? I need prayer this week because I know I need to be ready to follow God. Find somebody that you trust that will be praying for you this week to be ready for that challenge. All right? All right, church, go in peace.